Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I must say, this Monday really feels like the most normal Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports. The most normal Monday since before everything really hit the fan with the pandemic, right? I mean, what a weekend it was, folks. What a weekend it was. We are just coming off of the first NFL Sunday of 2020, and I don't know about you, but from the moment I woke up, well, after I washed my girlfriend's car, after that, I went back to my apartment, sat on the couch, got my favorite snacks and beverages, and watched football from 1 p.m. all the way until about 11:30 after my Dallas Cowboys lost to the L.A. Rams, but that's beside the point. I'll get to the Cowboys and Rams later on. On today's Current Sports, I'm going to recap as much as I can concerning week one of NFL Sunday. So fun, folks. I mean, I really missed it. I really missed it. You know, I was sitting there and, you know, thank goodness for the NFL Network allowing all of us to have NFL Red Zone for free during week one. I believe that's something they traditionally do, but I tell you what, folks, that's how they hook you, because I really got into NFL Red Zone heavy last year when I took a Sunday. I believe it was, you know, just like how it measured up this year. That's how they get you. Week one of last year's NFL Sunday, I sat down and tried it out. And once you watch NFL Red Zone, it's like you can't watch football on NFL Sunday any other way, because they take you around the league. You get to see every single game, the big plays at least. You get to know a bit of everything that's happening, and you don't miss a scoring play. I mean, it's amazing, especially for those like me who have three fantasy football teams that you're trying to look at and make sure that your players are getting the right production, right? But it was just amazing. I was sitting there on my laptop open just watching all of these games on NFL Red Zone and keeping up, and then, of course, watching what occurred, what happened to your Detroit Lions football team, a team that really had that game in the bag. I mean, the Lions had a great, great lead in that game, and then things fell apart because, well, they are the Detroit Lions. You always know that no lead is safe when it comes to the Detroit Lions. Nothing's safe with them. You know that there is always a great chance for a Lions collapse, and that's exactly what happened. The Lions collapsed in that second half. The Lions really just gave the game away in that fourth quarter. And Mitch Trubisky, you know, he just has had great success against the Detroit Lions. I mean, when it comes to Matt Patricia and his tenure, and boy, oh boy, is that seat really hot right now, right? Matt Patricia, he chose to go very conservative as that game went along, and that cost the Detroit Lions, you know, sure, Matthew Stafford had some really bad throws in that game, costly turnover late to really give the Bears more life. And, it led to the Bears pulling off that 27-23 comeback win. DeAndre Swift, oh my goodness. I mean, How do you drop that? I couldn't believe that. That's ball game. I mean, I have a very different tone today. I still have some concern today, but I have a very different tone if DeAndre Swift is able to make what seemed to be a routine catch. Routine catch. It's not like a defender was draped on him and it was difficult to make. He just dropped it. That's just a simple drop that you just can't make. So we're going to recap it all, folks. We'll recap all things Lions and Bears. Yes, there have been so many people out there. You know what's funny? Because I make fun of you Detroit Lions fans all the time. Whenever my Dallas Cowboys lose, whenever they lose, you guys come right at me and say, "Hey, Al, now you know what it feels like to be a Detroit Lions fan." No, I don't. We don't lose like you guys. We are a franchise that wins way more than you guys. Yeah, the Cowboys have ripped out my heart a few times, for sure. For sure. But Cowboys and Lions don't even deserve to be in the same breath. Two different franchises. My franchise has a history of winning, all right? And I'm sorry, Detroit Lions fans. If I'm rubbing you the wrong way, sorry. You've already been rubbed the wrong way many, many times because you are rooting for the Honolulu Blue. I just don't know how you guys do it. You know, inept leadership. And Matt Patricia has not beaten the Chicago Bears, who have been a sorry franchise in the last, what, 3 to 4 seasons. He hasn't beaten the Chicago Bears in, what, 5 tries now. So, yeah, there's a little difference between the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions. But you guys love to poke fun. All in fun, right? Looking at what happened to my Cowboys last night against the LA Rams, I'll get to that. We'll again, you know, take a broad look at week one, the first NFL Sunday of the NFL year. And that will really be the foundation of today's current sports. But on weekend winners, I'm also going to call out a fantastic young tennis star who is not only taking the world by storm due to her play on the court, but off of it as well. All right. And I may squeeze in a little Big Ten talk as well, because really we have to. Seems as though Big Ten chancellors and presidents and other upper echelon people within the conference all met over the weekend. And a vote is expected to happen that will possibly approve Big Ten football to start in October. Thoughts on that and so much more. If you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is a number you can call. Leave us a voicemail there. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. Hop on Twitter, tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or leave us a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's start here. First, I want to get to some Michigan State football recruiting news. New Jersey has proven to be a successful recruiting ground for Michigan State football and its coaching staff in the 2021 class. The Spartans' only 4-star player, offensive lineman Geno Vandermark, he is from the Garden State, as is 3-star guard Kevin Wingington. And on Sunday, Vandermark's teammate at St. Joseph Regional, 4-star running back Audric Esteem, he will be following him to East Lansing, as Esteem gave a verbal commitment to Michigan State. He made the announcement on Twitter saying, quote, "Committed. Michigan State, let's ride. Hashtag go green." And I tell you what, Audric looks like a real, real football player. You know, I get that he's in high school, but man, I mean, you look at him, he's got these huge arms, big shoulders. I mean, he's a beast. He looks like a beast, at least. All right, so Michigan State with a grab there. As I just mentioned, Big Ten football starting in October? Question mark. For the first time since the Big Ten shut down all fall sports on August 11th, people familiar with the decision have transitioned with hopeful to confidence in the league to possibly get this thing going and playing in 2020 come next month. Those people told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that they expect the Big Ten's Council of Presidents and Chancellors to vote on the start of the season with a target date happening on October 17th. So Big Ten football could be coming back into your life next month. Michigan State football could be coming back into your life next month. The Council of Presidents and Chancellors voted 11-3 last month to shut down all Big Ten fall sports because of concerns over the coronavirus pandemic. Ohio State, Nebraska, and Iowa were the three schools that voted to play. 9 votes will be needed to reverse the original decision. And Wisconsin is expected to vote yes this time. So that vote could possibly happen today. As of right now, again, I am pre-recording the show as I have been doing throughout the pandemic. This morning, I don't see a vote right now. By the time you listen to this, I don't know, maybe there's some breaking news. And if there is, you can tune in to All Things Considered, and I will have a report there as Sophia Salaby will be, of course, anchoring that ship. And you'll get an update there, all right? But as of right now, no vote has taken place on this Monday morning. But a vote is expected to take place. And I think that, you know, especially when fans of the Big Ten and those chancellors and presidents, when they were sitting back on Saturday and watching some teams around college football play, you know, it said, hey, why not us? You know, I knew that was going to be very tempting. When you saw these other conferences out there, these other teams out there playing, the Big Ten was going to sit back and amidst all the pressure that Kevin Warren and the Big Ten has been getting, they were going to revisit this. And they got enticed and said, okay, let's re-vote on this thing. We're missing out on a lot of moolah. That could be us. I still don't think it's safe, but hey, what do I know? All right, the Detroit Lions, Mitchell Trubisky. He missed many targets, sailing some passes high, leaving others behind teammates, until it mattered most, though. Trubisky perfectly lofted a 27-yard go-ahead TD pass to the fingertips of Anthony Miller with 1:54 remaining, and the Chicago Bears held on to beat the Detroit Lions 27-23 on Sunday. Detroit drove to the Chicago 16 with a chance to win on the final possession, but rookie running back DeAndre Swift missed a gimme, a layup, a routine catch in the end zone that would have won the Lions the game. On the next snap after that drop, Matthew Stafford threw another incomplete pass as time expired to complete the collapse. Trubisky, he threw 3 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter to help Chicago rally from a check-in. 23-6 deficit. 23-6. An epic Detroit Lions collapse. But I guess, you know, looking at this year in 2020, a lot has gone awry. A lot has been very weird and different. But one thing that hasn't changed is the Detroit Lions collapsing in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Looking very familiar to Lions fans. Detroit opened last season by blowing an 18-point lead at Arizona, if you remember. And that game ended in a tie. And looking at last season, after that tie, that began a trend of blown leads as the Lions finished with a horrid 3-12-1 record. The Lions will be at Green Bay this Sunday, taking on an Aaron Rodgers-led Packers team that did away with the Minnesota Vikings on the road yesterday. All right, and I've got some other NFL scores here. Let's just take a trip around the league real quickly here. We saw, of course, on Thursday Night Football, the Chiefs beat the Texans last week 34-20. The Seahawks beat the Atlanta Falcons 38-25. Russell Wilson was just simply amazing. You know, Wilson only missed 4 passes that entire game. He was something crazy like 31 of 35. The Bills beat the Jets 27-17. As I mentioned, the Packers over the Vikings 43-34. the New England Patriots, led by new QB Cam Newton. They beat the Miami Dolphins 21-11. The Washington football team, this is good for my Dallas Cowboys, even though we did fall to the LA Rams last night, but the Washington football team ended up coming back and beating the Philadelphia Eagles 27-17. The Oakland Raiders over the Carolina Panthers 34-30. The Jacksonville Jaguars over the Indianapolis Colts. Phillip Rivers and the Colts just gave that one away down the stretch. 27-20, that final there. The Baltimore Ravens not even close against the Cleveland Browns 38-6. The LA Chargers over the Cincinnati Bengals 16-13. The New Orleans Saints beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, Tom Brady loses his first game behind center for Tampa Bay. 34-23, the final there. New Orleans, though, a Super Bowl contender. I kind of get it. Brady did have some bad passes, though. The Arizona Cardinals over the San Francisco 49ers. A big upset there. Kyler Murray, he was great. 24-20, the final there. And, of course, yes, my Dallas Cowboys lost to the LA Rams 20-17. The refs handed that game to LA. We would have went down there and tied it, of course. A great throw, great catch. Dak Prescott to Michael Gallup, they called it pass interference, and that was the ball game. Tonight, on Monday Night Football, you've got a doubleheader starting at 7:15 p.m. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the New York Giants. And then at 10:10 p.m., the late slate game, the Tennessee Titans on the road at Mile High Stadium against the Denver Broncos. Football is back, folks. It feels good. And also want to note that the NFL announced prior to kickoff of Sunday's games that all NFL players had tested negative. Zero coronavirus cases. So we'll see how long that lasts. All right? Okay, the Lions weren't the only team to lose to a Chicago team when it comes to Detroit professional sports yesterday. Now, granted, that was a gut-wrenching and somewhat unexplainable loss with most sports fans in Detroit living and dying on every play. But in Chicago, the Tigers lost 5-2 to the Chicago White Sox, which wasn't shocking at all, given how this season has went. The White Sox have defeated the Tigers in 9 consecutive games after the Tigers won the opening game between the teams this season. For good measure, that's 10 losses in the last 13 games for the Tigers overall in a season that's going really right now off the rails. Especially the way the last 6 games have gone, outscored 57-13 in 5 losses. It's been bad, folks. It's been bad, and isn't it's remarkable how, you know, what a difference a week makes. You know, a week ago, I was sitting here on the airwaves and saying that, hey, the Detroit Tigers are playing some pretty good ball, and they got a chance at making the playoffs. We'll see what happens, though. That's baseball. Things can change in the blink of an eye. So with 12 games remaining and possibly an additional doubleheader against the St. Louis Cardinals, the 20-26 Tigers are 5.5 games back of the AL's 8th and final playoff spot. I remember when they were a game and a half back. They have a 1% chance now to make the postseason, according to Fangraphs.com's projections. Okay, big ups to this 22-year-old tennis phenom. Naomi Osaka won the U.S. Open tournament at Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City on Saturday, netting her second U.S. Open title and her third Grand Slam win overall. She was victorious against her opponent, Victoria Azarenka, who did not make it easy, especially after that first set. I was sweating a bit because, yes, I was rooting for Naomi Osaka. I'm a big fan of hers. But she rallied 6-3, 6-3 in the next 2 sets, reclaiming a title she first copped in 2018, facing off against the great Serena Williams. Now, for each of her 7 games in the tournament, Osaka donned face masks that bore the names of black people killed by racist violence in America. Breonna Taylor, Elijah McClain, Jameer Rice, Philando Castile, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Trayvon Martin. In a post-game media interview, Osaka made it clear that she wants to leverage her platform to ensure the fight for black lives does not fade in the background, saying, quote, well, what was the message that you got is the more important question. I love that. She was asked by, I believe it was Tom Rinaldi, what was the message she was trying to send wearing those seven masks with seven names during her seven matches. And she fired that question right back at Tom Rinaldi. It was a beautiful, beautiful answer. And, you know, she's right now dating hip-hop artist YBN Cordae. I'm a big fan of his, and he was in the stands rooting her on. And he has been such an advocate for raising awareness of, you know, what we're seeing in our nation right now. Just gotta love that. Gotta love that. You know, Naomi Osaka is not ashamed to talk about her blackness and to stand up for what is right. I love it, folks. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about the epic Lions collapse at home against the Chicago Bears. We'll talk about week one of the NFL Sunday slates. That and more, folks. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's just get it out the way. Your Detroit Lions are still the Detroit Lions. 27-23, the final against the Chicago Bears. In a game that I chose the Lions to win because the Bears, let's just call it like it is, the Bears are just not a good football team. The Bears are sorry. They're horrible. If you can't beat the Chicago Bears, then who can you beat? And Matt Patricia hasn't beaten the Chicago Bears since he has put that pencil behind his ear and thrown on the Honolulu Blue coaching cap. Isn't that sad? We're talking about the Chicago Bears, folks. Mitchell Trubisky, who is one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Matt Nagy, who is on the hot seat. I mean, I just don't understand it. And you had a sizable lead in that game. I mean, I thought that the Lions were going to cruise. When I saw that the score was 23-6, you know, I stopped paying attention to the game. I said, all right, I'll check out the recap later. I'll watch the highlights later of the rest of the game. And then slowly but surely, as I'm sitting there watching NFL Red Zone, they start to show the Detroit Lions giving up the lead. Little by little. Little by little. And then, of course, it ended with, you know, I was sitting there watching that drive led by Mitchell Trubisky, and when Trubisky landed, perfectly landed, that pigskin into the fingertips of Anthony Miller with 1:54 remaining, I just said to myself, I just kind of laughed. I chuckled and said, yep, here we go again. At least there's something normal here in 2020. That's the Detroit Lions totally collapsing when it matters most. It's what they do, folks. It's what they do. This is who they are. Typical ending to a Detroit Lions game. I saw that on the status of many people on my Facebook page, on my Facebook timeline. Saw that in so many different tweets. And after that, you know, there are so many people that have criticized Matthew Stafford throughout his career, and I just don't get the criticism because this man is incredibly, incredibly durable, considering that he has played with a paper offensive line throughout most of his career. He has played through back injuries and still produced. And he may go down as the greatest Detroit Lions quarterback to ever play. But yet, again, it's just so easy to blame the quarterback. And yes, not going to lie, Matthew Stafford had a really bad turnover in that final stanza that gave the Bears new life, or more life, I should say. But at the end of the day, you know, Matt Patricia got so conservative with his play calling, but I'm going to get to that in just a moment. On that final drive, the Lions still had a chance, and Matthew Stafford gave his team a chance to win that game. And look, I don't care if he's a rookie. I'm not letting him off the hook. Because you're getting paid millions upon millions of dollars to go out there and play a game. The least you could do is catch a wide open, nobody in the stratosphere football that would have won the game for the Lions and saved a lot of grief, a lot of angst from Detroit Lions coaches and fans alike. DeAndre Swift was wide open. I thought it was over. Matthew Stafford throws a perfect football right into the palms of DeAndre Swift, and he drops it. Inexcusable. That can't happen. And I know there are a lot of Lions fans out there saying, okay, Al, don't kill DeAndre Swift. To that, I say two things. One, don't let him out off the hook. Detroit Lions fans, you got to start holding your players accountable as well, because I feel like the only two things you guys hold accountable, the only two personnel that you guys hold accountable is Matthew Stafford or Matt Patricia. That's the easy thing to do. DeAndre Swift should have caught that football. Simple as that. But on the flip side of that as well, you have to criticize Matt Patricia. He is a man who is deservingly on the hot seat. And bottom line, the Lions can't close out games under Matt Patricia. Something is going wrong in the fourth quarter that isn't allowing the Detroit Lions to close it out, win the ball game, and move on. And you know, Matt Patricia, he's like he got offended by that question in the post-game press conference. I don't know if you guys saw his response to that, but he basically said that, look, I have a great fourth quarter record. Again, I'm paraphrasing here, but he went on to say that, I think he said something like, you know, I have the, you know, one of the biggest plays in fourth quarter history. I don't know, maybe he's talking about like his New England days when he was the, you know, the coordinator under Bill Belichick. But when it comes to his recent stint right now as the head coach of the Detroit Lions, he hasn't gotten the job done. You know, last year, the Lions led in the fourth quarter in 9 of their first 12 games. I'll say that again. The Lions led in the fourth quarter in 9 of their first 12 games, and they finished the season 3-12-1. New year, same problem. They got to figure out how to play better in the final quarter if they are going to show any improvement here in 2020. They got to figure out how to coach better in the fourth quarter if they're going to show some improvement in 2020. And now, I mean, look, that was supposed to be a layup. You got to beat the Chicago Bears, because now you got to go on the road to play Green Bay. You got to go on the road to play Arizona. Two teams that won in NFL Sunday week one. Then you play Super Bowl contender at home, the New Orleans Saints. Then you play a sneaky good Jacksonville Jaguars team. I mean, that was your easiest game to start off the NFL year. Don't even get me started on October 25th against the Atlanta Falcons, and then to begin November, you play the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, you have a very tough September and October schedule. You are playing really good NFL teams. You got to beat the Chicago Bears. This thing, I believe, is going to get out of hand. I really do. I mean, if you beat the Bears, that gives you some great momentum going into week two, gives you some confidence. That was just very deflating. I will say this, AP, Adrian Peterson, the 35-year-old, over-the-hill running back, right? AP looked good. He looked good. You know, he isn't the Adrian Peterson of his prime. We all know that. But, hey, he still got something left in the tank. He ran with power. He looked sharp, hitting holes in his cuts, stopping on the dime. You know, he's not as fast as he used to be, but again, he's 35 years old. If he stays healthy, he can be a consistent force for this team, I believe. He had 93 rushing yards. Yes, 7 away from 100. And he caught 21 receiving yards. Love it. Love it. If the Lions get that out of AP consistently, game by game, that's going to help a lot. That is going to help a lot. And look, Matthew Stafford, he was without his top receiver in Kenny Galladay. And, you know, watching that game, it took him a while to really get in rhythm, to figure out his timing with his receivers. You know, some announcers, you know, kept bringing up, well, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks are out of rhythm when it comes to their receivers because they didn't play in preseason. I think preseason is overrated. I think they should get away with, you know, just totally just axe it out. Figure out your 53-man roster during training camp. Look, the amateurs don't do it, right? The quote-unquote amateurs don't do it in college football. They get right to it in week one. I love it. I don't like appetizers. Just give me the entree right then and there, okay? Well, that's a lie. I really do like appetizers. Give me some wings, you know, some spinach dip. Nah, I'm cool with that. But you know what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying, all right? Russell Wilson didn't need preseason games to warm up, okay? Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, the elite of the elite, don't need it, okay? If you're good, you're good. But, you know, once Matthew Stafford did find that rhythm, you know, heck, he played at a high level. Found open receivers, hit receivers in stride. He was 24-42, 297, one touchdown, and a pretty costly interception. But the thing about Matthew Stafford is he's going to always give you a chance. Remember like 3 seasons ago now when Matthew Stafford, you know, was in that MVP race and he was like breaking all of these records when it came to fourth quarter come from behind wins because that Detroit Lions secondary can't stop anybody and still can't. Still can't. Still has problems. And Matthew Stafford was just having to, you know, continue to go out there and hope that his team had the ball with some time left so that he can come back and possibly win the game. And he was doing that. Again, that was about 3 years ago. Thing about Matthew Stafford is he's clutch. He's always going to give you a chance. And that DeAndre Swift drop is just, oh man, that hurt my feelings, and I'm not even a Detroit Lions fan. But again, speaking of that secondary, corner is a problem. You know, the Lions thought they might have a deep group of corners, but I mean, Detroit was playing its number 2, 5, and 6 corners. Amani Oruwariye, Daryl Roberts, and Tony McRae. Jeff Okuda, your draft pick, round 1, inactive, hamstring injury. Justin Coleman, and Desmond Trufant left the game with hamstring injuries. I am concerned about the corner spot for the Detroit Lions. Not a good sign at all. Oh, yeah. Can I address real quick what in the world Jamie Collins was doing? He was ejected in the first half of Sunday's opener. Not sure what he was trying to do, but it was just idiotic. You know, he was trying to explain to David Montgomery, potentially lowering his head on the one-yard run. Collins had made the tackle on the play before. He lowered his head and made contact with the official's chest. And he thought he wasn't going to get tossed for that? Why even do that? Alex Kemp threw the flag, ejected Collins. That was it. Go to the locker room. Kemp said after the game that he saw Collins approaching him and that the players are allowed to touch officials, such as putting hands on shoulders, but he deemed Collins' actions to be unnecessary. So I called foul, Kemp said. Quote, so I called foul. Just stupid and idiotic. You can't do something like that. Come on, Jamie Collins. You're smarter than that. Oh, the Detroit Lions. So I'm curious. You know, we'll see what Mitchell Trubisky can do, you know, as he works to try and revive his career. You know, I'm sure he had to smile when he looked at the schedule and said, oh, we play the Lions week one? I can get off to a really good start because the Lions and Mitch Trubisky has had the Lions number. Matt Nagy has had the Lions number. Again, Matt Patricia has not beaten. He has not beaten the Chicago Bears. So, yeah, man. The Lions are going to lion. This is what they do, folks. This is what they do. As far as confidence that the Lions can you know, turn this thing around and figure it out, again, it's only one game, so I don't know. There are probably some fans out there saying, Al, you're overreacting. Just game one. Let's relax. We got a whole season ahead of us. But again, I look at that schedule. Packers, Cardinals, Saints, Jaguars, Falcons. And I say, point out a guaranteed win. Packers? No. Cardinals? That's probably the best shot out of the five games I just listed leading up to the month of November. That game or the one against the Jags. Your best shot. But no guarantees. Kyler Murray looked great yesterday. Big upset there against the San Francisco 49ers. Got a chance to check out that. Thank goodness for Red Zone. I mean, that was big. Big upset there. So, no, you just can't look at the Cardinals and say, that's a win. Nope, dogfight. Saints, you're not winning that. Falcons, you're not winning that. Jags, you got a chance there, but the Jags looked good yesterday, too. By the way, the Jags were the only NFL team yesterday that had fans in the stands. As far as the NFL experience, watching those game one games, I'm going to get my thoughts on that and whether or not this NFL season can realistically complete without any crazy major COVID-19 outbreaks. Thoughts on that and more. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard my thoughts on that epic Lions collapse. It wasn't even epic. It was expected, right? I mean, let's be real. This is what the Lions do. What they do. So, I mean, watching it, I was not surprised that they gave up that game, but I really did. I really did think they were going to pull that one out. I really did. But the Lions are like Lucy, and you all as Lions fans are like Charlie Brown. They just snatch that football right when you think, okay, yeah, we got it. Psych, no. All right, week one was pretty fun. And we still got, look, we still got two more games for week one. But NFL Sunday, you know, I was just curious as to how the game was going to feel, right? And look, yes, it was a bit weird whenever the camera would pan and, you know, you would look in the stands and see that, okay, there are no fans there. Wow. But, you know, the Lions game was one of the games in which they experimented with fake pumped-in crowd noise. I liked it. No, it kind of reminded me of what the NBA is doing with the faked, subtle crowd noise. You know, and they had cardboard cutouts there. But anytime the camera did not pan around the arena, you know, if I just heard that crowd noise in the background, it just felt like, okay, this is a normal NFL viewing experience for me. Just that real subtle noise does something, right? It does something subconsciously to the viewer, I believe, when watching the game. I like it. I hope they continue it. Hope they do it tonight for Monday Night Football. I really enjoyed it. Instead of just hearing just silence, that's a bit awkward. You know, I'm sure it was a bit awkward for the NFL players out there, but, you know, they're still out there giving maximum effort, still trying to win. These are professionals, and they acted accordingly. So for me, I really enjoyed it. I really did. You know, I thought that, you know, again, I think last night when watching my Cowboys lose to the LA Rams, you know, SoFi Stadium, I forget how you pronounce it, but, you know, that $5 billion stadium in Inglewood, California for the Rams, beautiful. Look, hey, I'm a Cowboys fan and I love Jerry World. I love AT&T Stadium down in Arlington, but yo, that thing in Inglewood isn't from this planet. That is crazy. I mean, beautiful. Did you see that? The water flow looked like a mini Niagara Falls right outside the stadium. I mean, wow. That thing is just. It's gorgeous. It really is gorgeous. I really enjoy watching. That's the thing. You know, my point is the NFL, you know, the Sunday Night Football crew, they had no choice but to show the stands because they're showing off, you know, they have to show off these glamorous shots of the $5 billion stadium. So that Rams and Cowboys game, out of all of them, I think, felt the most empty. You really felt the absence of the fans because you have to show off that stadium to show just how beautiful it is every 5 seconds. But every other game, you know, tight shots, just stay tight. Give us that little subtle crowd noise. Cool. I'm good with it. I'm just hoping there is no outbreak. Encouraging that right now, when it was released, when I got that notification on my phone yesterday, that the NFL had zero positive cases. Wow, impressive. But I just don't see how that continues if you have traveling NFL football teams with so many personnel. I hope I'm wrong because it feels good to have football back on the television. And real briefly, I will address it. I've addressed it already, but pass interference needs to be reevaluated. How it's called needs to be reevaluated in the National Football League because Jalen Ramsey, Michael Gallup, come on, man. Those are just two football players going after the football. Jalen Ramsey said afterwards, clear as day, that Gallup pushed off. But of course he's going to say that, right? You look at that, that's just two football players going at it. That was a crime. Put us in field goal position. If we don't score a touchdown, we at least kick it for three. Let's go to overtime, baby. And you got overtime on Sunday Night Football, but that didn't happen. Just upsetting. All right. Do want to address this before we bid you all adieu? The new Big Ten vote. Yeah, the new Big Ten vote. It's expected to come through, I don't know, what I'm reading online, at some point today, we'll know. As presidents and chancellors did meet, and over the weekend they did meet, you know, the Big Ten's council of presidents and chancellors, and they will vote to possibly start the season. The new target date is October 17th, which will allow the Big Ten to be eligible to play in the college football playoff. As I stated at the top of the hour reading that headline, I think that when sitting back, and I'm going to dive more into college football on tomorrow's Current Sports, but sitting back, those upper echelon personnel, those presidents and chancellors and, of course, coaches around the Big Ten, looked at what was taking place in college football and said to themselves, why not us? That should be us. We're missing out on so much money. That should be us. Let's get this thing rolling. Let's meet, guys. Emergency meeting. This is eating me up right now. They met, and they're probably going to approve the start of Big Ten football for mid-October. I personally think it's the wrong decision. People are still dying. People are still getting infected. I don't think the NFL should be playing right now. But again, I'm sheltering. I've learned now to just kind of put those feelings aside, address them if I need to, like right now when I'm talking about a story that directly pertains to it. And I do believe that those in charge of the NFL, those in charge of college sports right now are just going to have to learn the hard way. But again, what do I know? What do I know? We just want football back in our lives. We want sports back in our lives. It's our escape from the madness that has been 2020. So if there is a vote that comes through, again, I'm not seeing anything right now on my Twitter timeline as I'm hitting refresh as we speak, as I record this in the morning. But if anything breaks later this afternoon, I will have a report on our website at WKAR.org or on All Things Considered. Okay? But I bid you all adieu, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.